afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody. Just another hump day in America.
Yes, to be sure. And I hope you got some rest. I bet you stayed up late last night, as most of us did.
I did indeed.
Mm-hmm. And we can touch base on that here in a little bit. I don't know if we're still trying to connect with Wendy Wilson. She joins the first segment of the program with us today. She did send me a topic that she wanted to talk about, and it's a real interesting topic because in the world that we live in today, where everyone's temperature is being taken, she was asking the question for the body temperature, is it really 98.6? And so because I know mine varies all over the place. So we'll talk about that right after the market report today. And today, gold, with all the bizarre happenings across this nation, was down $5.80 at 1903. Silver was down 30 cents at 2398. Platinum was down 2 at 876. Palladium was down 15 at 2303. The USDX today, of course, was stronger, 0.03, not by a whole lot, 93.43. Crude oil was up $1.32 at $38.98. And the stock market today, I guess, logged its best day since July. Supposedly, the Dow is betting on Joe. I can't even, it doesn't matter because both are going to pump money into the system. And the U.S. dollar is still going to remain weak no matter who wins. So, and that's what we have to look into the future a little bit. So, but the Dow did go up another, let me double check on this, 367 points at 27,847. And it really is off. I think I saw it once. Wasn't it 700, Dave?
Yeah, it's actually close to 800.
So it did drop considerably. The NASDAQ is the one that really went crazy, up almost 4%, 430 points at 11,590. Of course, that's all the techies. The S&P was up 74 points at 3,443. The 10-year yield, 0.77, that dropped a lot, 0.11. And London and Germany, Germany was up almost 2%. London did quite well. Almost 1.75%. So, we got the jobs report coming on Friday, and so it is. It's kind of hard to predict which direction anything is going to be going, particularly this week on a short-term basis. So, those are things we'll talk about when we come back from break. From the first segment, as we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hey there.
Hey, I thought we'd talk about, like you mentioned, the body temperature. You know, we've all been told it's the normal body temperature is 98.6. This is kind of a standard principle in modern medicine, and it's used as pretty much the steadfast measurement that could indicate wellness or illness. So, so we're going to look at this. It's a biological marker for a metabolic thermostat, if you will, in modern medicine. So we're going to check it out. This is a West Coast study, by the way. October 2020, researchers at the University of California in Santa Barbara, they discovered that medicine contrived the standard normal body temperature about 150 years ago. So, however, the standard normal body temperature was established, they say, by a German physician by the name of Dr. Karl Wundrich around 1877. So what science is now saying is that Dr. Wundrich must likely have established an upper limit to body temperature. So for a really long time, modern medicine has taught your healthy humans will have a body temperature of 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. So Dr. Wunderlich's writings even suggested back in the 1800s that females in general have higher body temperature compared to men. So he wrote that the elderly present body temperatures lower than younger individuals. Therefore, the researchers at the University of California wanted to investigate what is normal with regard to healthy body temperature. So it seems to be different for individuals in different genders and times of life. Isn't that interesting?
Just like everything else.
Well, so what the research team revealed is that humans over time established new body temperatures. So they found that healthy adults have a lower body temperature in different parts of the world. For instance, he says in 2017 there was a study with 35,000 adults in the UK, and their average body temperature was 97.9 degrees Fahrenheit. Then a study in 2019 showed that adult Americans to have a body temperature of 97.5 degrees Fahrenheit. And then the indigenous populations in Tanzania and Bolivian Amazon areas show a decline in body temperature there. In 2019, it was 97.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Here is a quote from Professor Michael Gervan. He's with anthropology at the University of Santa Barbara. He says, in less than two decades, we are seeing about the same level of decline as we observed in the U.S. over approximately two centuries. So the research did get published in the October 2020 Journal of Science Advances, and it's a big question now. Professor Govan goes on to say, the provocative studies are showing declines in normal body temperature in the United States since the time of the Civil War. So that's when they started conducting a lot of these single population studies. And he says, and we couldn't explain why the decline has happened. He says, we even when we adjusted for higher body temperature for infections and used the same instruments over the course of our study, no matter how we did the analysis, the decline was still there. He says, if we adjusted for misdiagnosis on those pronounced to be healthy adults, the same decline appeared in the body temperature over time. So they're scratching their heads about it. And he says, our results suggest that reduced infection alone can explain the observed body temperature decline. They just don't know what's causing it. And I think it's just really interesting. So if we think this through, could the decline in body temperature be due to the use of some medications maybe that tend to influence things like inflammation, fever, or even circulation? Or the researchers, well, they don't think so. They don't think so. Or could it be the result of an environmentally controlled work and living spaces? In other words, we're used to air conditioning. We're pampered. But that isn't likely either, they said, because of the Amazon indigenous people in that region. They don't have air conditioning out there.
Global warming.
Yeah. So Professor Gervan goes on to say, we literally could not find one single magic bullet to explain these findings. We therefore conclude it must be a combination of factors that point to lower body temperature. So they're just not sure. But how about we go back to the first theory back in the 1800s? Maybe that normal body temperature wasn't exact. Maybe the entire world population isn't supposed to have a 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit body temperature to begin with. Think about it.
Maybe we just have a bunch of bad thermometers, too.
Well, yeah, especially with this COVID thing where they take your temperature everywhere you go, right? Well, Professor Gervan, he says, we wondered if this was a fluke, but we found body temperature in healthy individuals decline over time outside the U.S. and the U.K. and in tropical environments where infections account for a majority of deaths. So can't be the global warming thing either. They're running out of things to say. They are. Now, he did say this, though. One thing, he says, we've known for a while is that there is no universal normal body temperature for all humans at all times. So he says clinicians who use body temperature readings in practice need to remember this and not to be fixated on 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I've run across people that say my body temperature runs low. I'm just weird. No, apparently you're not. You know, you're just not weird. Now, here are some facts. Some of the things that affect body temperature that can make it fluctuate, you know, a degree maybe, depending on your activity. Things like physical exertion, of course. How about stress? Stress affects us, as well as, for females, the menstrual cycle, for sure. And an illness, of course, and age. There's finding.
Are you talking about a lowering of the temperature or an increase? I'm lowering.
Yeah, well, if your physical exertion, it'll push it upward. But if the
push
other ones tend to, yeah, the other ones can, well, stress can push it up too, because it pushes up blood pressure. But your menstrual cycle and an illness now can push a fever up, and then age. They're saying if as we age, our body temperatures drop. So there really isn't any real universal normal body temperature for everyone, they're saying. So using a temperature marker can be used kind of as a clue, and it's an easy thing to measure. Therefore, a lot of health authorities like to use it, and they can use it to also monitor population health, especially with pandemics like what we're seeing. Now, you know, I went to the dentist to get a cleaning the other day, you know, because I hadn't been in a year because they've been closed. And the first thing they do is take your temperature. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, they take your temperature just about.
Well, usually if you're going for an eye exam, any kind of exam, mm-hmm. they're going to take your temperature. I mean, you go to the post office, they're not taking your temperature. At least not here. You know, I don't know about where you're at. But and I'm really kind of worried about, you know, Biden's, if he's going to be the president, because he has said in his recent campaign that he wants to mandate face masks. Everywhere. So.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. So you're saying the politics of it all has affected the market or hasn't? The financial markets?
I mean, are you just referencing today or through the?
Yeah.
I mean, through this election, absolutely. I mean, certainly yeah. Wall Street is hoping for Biden because, you know, trillions of dollars for infrastructure and everything like that. But I'm not sure what he'd be able to get passed, depending on, I don't know if there's any, at this point, I don't know if there's any verifications that need to be done in the Senate and the House. So depends on how that all finishes up. So, but yeah, I think. But to me, it doesn't matter who gets elected because they still are going to have, I mean, it does, but I mean, as far as the Wall Street and the Fed, they're still going to have to print as much as they can to keep the system going. That's not going to change, whether it be under a Democrat or a Republican. So I think Wall Street saying that it's going up just because it's Biden, yeah. It would go up because of Trump too. So,
wow. Well, I know they're going to go to the Supreme Court, I hear, just to see how it shakes out. Is that right?
There are so many different reports and so forth. Of course, that was always been the, you know, the claim that it would be going there and so forth to stop book counting and all this. So, Dave, I don't know if you have any updates on that or not.
Well, they've filed suit. In both Michigan and Pennsylvania, or regarding the Michigan and Pennsylvania counts, asking the Supreme Court to stop the counting there until they, the Trump campaign, have been allowed access to the counting of the mail-in ballots, which, you know, according to other witnesses, observers, participants, they've already had. So, but that's Pennsylvania is a little more complicated because they're looking to have the U.S. Supreme Court intervene and presumably overturn a Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision that allows mail-in ballots to be accepted and counted up to 3 days after yesterday, so long as the ballots were postmarked prior, I believe, to 8 p.m. Yesterday.
Yeah, and I had heard reports that they had found ballots discarded in dumpsters that were marked.
I stay away from that. That's as far as I'm concerned, is just rumor.
Rumor. Okay. All right. Well, and it'll be interesting how it shakes out, and it affects everybody here in the old U.S. of A. But you know, in the meantime, body temperature. If you're taking yours today, just remember. There's wiggle room in the body temperature now, according to science. The human body is kind of designed to balance metabolically your functions, and body temperature would be in the mix. And what about your thyroid that is supposedly helping to stabilize the temperature? So, I mean, thyroids could be in the mix here as well. So some people may have a normal temperature a degree cooler than other people, which now is normal for them. So if we feed the body, though, whole food nutrition, get the toxins out, put the good nutrition in, the body finds its own balance, and it's a better balance than what we think it should be. So, you know, go with what God designed for your particular metabolism. And but if you have metabolic stumbling blocks you want to remove, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs, because we have some cleanses that can remove a lot of things that can just inhibit the healing and the balancing and the regeneration of cells. So if you want to remove heavy metals, radioactive particles, and pharmaceutical residues, there's herbs that can do that safely. So give us a call. That's what we're experts in at Apothecary Herbs: organ cleansing, metabolic strengthening, and immune support. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and of course the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. There are standardized coupons on our website as well as in our catalog, so you can always find a way to save on your order. Any questions on body temp?
Is there a low temperature that a person should get concerned about?
Not that medicine is showing. Usually what we're seeing is, you know, 98.6, 97.5 is a degree, you know, we're way below that. So, you know, if you're getting into, you know, severe drops, then of course, yeah, they're going to be alerted, but a degree or two is not a big deal. Yeah.
All right. You know, what's funny is because whenever I go to the doctor, my temperature is usually 98.6. But when I take it at home or something like that, it's always a little bit lower.
So, yeah. Well, your blood pressure is probably different because people get a little nervous at the doctor's office, and that can push it up a little. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Wendy. And yep. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Okay, take care now.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, I mean, I think everybody really knows what's going on. You know, again, I was up till, you know, one-ish listening to CNN, and because I think most of the other networks were, I mean, it was just pathetic coverage of the election, just pathetic. On whether it was Fox, whether it was CNBC or whatever. I just wanted the facts. I just wanted the numbers. You know, I don't need all the fancy stuff. And I hate to say this because I normally, but they actually did a really good job. And there's a lot of things going on, and we'll be filtering this through and seeing what happens. But one of the things that I saw a headline on before we get into some of the financial news, Oregon decriminalizes possession of street drugs, becoming the first in the nation. And they decriminalized small amounts of heroin, cocaine, other street drugs, I guess it'd be meth and everything else. And I think it's just, to me, it was just, I don't know, it really saddened me. I mean, you see all the problems that, you know, you hear about San Francisco, you read about San Francisco, about all the homeless and sleeping in the streets and, and here you have another state who is basically going to be welcoming this to their neighborhoods. And I don't know, it's, you know, the reason was behind, you know, but they're looking at it as a huge day of celebration, you know, and I get there's issues, you know, and yes, maybe these offenders do need treatment instead of incarceration, but if they don't want the treatment, there isn't anything you're going to do to help them with treatment, so... You know, I don't know, it just, and then when you look at the supporters, where the money came from, the Drug Policy Alliance poured more than $4 million into the decriminalization campaign. You had support from George Soros. You had support, and other major funders were Zuckerberg, Facebook, his wife, the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon, the National ACLU gave another $150,000. It got a boost from singer John Legend. I don't know. To me, it's just a sign of where we are as a nation, and it cannot be good. I mean, they have so many problems with their, you know, with their rioting and what they had and so forth. I just can't imagine how this will be successful for the state of Oregon. And anyway, that one bothered me. And I'm sure there's a lot of other ones that's going to bother me once we start going through the news. But, you know, we've seen this big push for legalizing marijuana, and everybody knows how I feel about it. It's medicinal purposes. Go for it. But it's not good on our society, and to me it's just a sign of a decay of our society. It's not something positive. It's not something that you can write home about. And it's And I hear the chants of everybody that's, well, decriminalize it, take the money out of it, and you know that'll make it, and you know whoever wants to do it, then let them do it, and so forth and whatnot. And I just don't buy. I just can't go that way. And oh well, look at these other countries, you know, the European countries who've done this, and they it's not the same. You can't compare our nation with some of those nations that have perhaps approved and legalized some drugs and so forth. They have their other issues as well. So anyway, I mean, that's what we're becoming, just a nation of drug addicts and gamblers. I saw the gambling got a lot of, you know, the various states approved more gambling casinos and so forth. And I guess that's where taxes and revenue and so forth. Anyway, to me, that was... Anything you want to comment on that, Dave?
No, thanks.
All righty. And so anyway, we had... talking about the markets, we had a clash of massive market moves, you know, pretty much around the globe. Whipsawing prices through asset classes. Just about every market was turned on its head and then upside down again. Most of the action came early in the evening as betting markets flipped from favoring a victory by Biden by favoring by Trump by 7 p.m. And so again, we've just seen this all night long, and we're continuing to see it. But you know, the dollar tumbled to its lowest level in close to a week around 7:45 last night, and then rose by more than 1%. So from 7:45, and it rose by 1% by 9:40. Treasury yields spiked and then sank as betting odds moved in President Trump's favor, with the yield on benchmark 10-year Treasury notes reaching a 5-month high of 0.95%, and then, of course, falling back to 0.77%, Dave.
Well, that,
so it was a whipsaw.
That 18 basis point swing between 8 and 10 was equivalent to the change in Treasury yields through the entire month of October.
Mm.
Gold had a dizzying night, too, as it turns out. It started falling around 7:30 last night, dropping first to 1896. From 1916, then rebounding some before diving to 1883 at about 9:45. It was up and down the rest of the night before jumping up from 1886 at 5:30 this morning to about 1912 at 8:15. And of course, it was up and down and eventually down for the day by the end of normal trading. So we've been talking about markets have been pricing in this so-called blue wave, where Democrats take control of the White House, Senate, and House, and expecting that to bring significant increases, as Melody mentioned, in spending and, of course, debt. Pantheon Macroeconomics chief economist Ian Shepherdson, however, expects to see a stimulus bill early next year, totaling about $500 billion, far less than the $2 billion expected if Democrats had won the Senate. He said whatever might change this story later in the year is the resurgence of COVID infections and, more importantly, hospitalizations. Both are now rising relentlessly, even before the onset of winter. Now, looking abroad for a moment, the Chinese yuan and Mexican peso, which both been tied to bets on the elections, saw wild swings last night as well. Melody?
Well, you know, we've seen President Trump's increasingly hawkish tone on China in recent days helped move the Chinese currency significantly as betting markets moved in and out of Trump's favor. The dollar against the yuan initially fell on expectations of a Biden victory and then rose again as it looked as though Trump was going to win. So, again, by the end of last night, the yuan was back where it began the day at around 6.7 yuan per dollar. So, you know, over the course of an hour and a half, the value of the dollar against the Mexican peso fell to 20.90 pesos per dollar. And that was the lowest since October 26, and rose to 21.91 pesos per dollar, and that's the highest since October 2nd. I can't imagine, Dave, how much money was made and how much money was lost last night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, a boatload was won and a boatload was lost.
I'm sure a bunch of hedge fund traders were losing sleep today. Let's put it that way.
And that's why you buy gold and you forget about it. You don't have to worry about any of that.
That's right.
So, you know, we're going to be talking about the jobs report on Friday. Private job creation showed a sharp deceleration in October as the economy struggled against a resurgent coronavirus, against the pandemic. Companies added 365 positions for the month. Now, this is coming from the ADP. From the ADP Moody's, since this is their report, not the government's report. So they're looking at 365,000 positions, and that is well below the 600,000 estimate. And that was the lowest reported gain from ADP Moody's since July. So the estimate has varied widely from the government's official non-farm payrolls report. However, the upwardly revised 750,000 in September actually was higher than the Labor Department's count of 661,000. So, from a sector perspective, services, of course, accounted for almost all of the job creation with 348,000. The hospitality industry, which took the biggest hit during the shutdown, added 125,000 jobs. Education and health services grew by 79,000. Professional and business services contributed 60,000. Of the 17,000 increase in the goods-producing side, construction, manufacturing, each added 7,000. And, of course, natural resources and mining rose 3,000.
Well, it's Melody just mentioned, this report comes a couple of days before the more closely watched Labor Department release, which will come Friday morning. Economists expect that report to show growth of 530,000, which would take the total amount of positions brought back since May to just about 12 million. Government's headline unemployment rate is also expected to fall 0.2 percentage point to 7.7. Dubious as that is, that would put the Ludwig Institute's actual, or they call it the true headline unemployment rate, at just below 26%. However, whichever numbers you want to hang your hat on, the gains in employment only make up for a little more than half of the 22 million positions lost in the first 2 months of the pandemic. Melody.
Well, here's a favorite topic of ours. We talk
about
it quite a bit.
It's
and
bad.
Again, it's part of the reality of Wall Street anymore. And company stock buybacks, drum roll please, are rising again. So here we go again. Top executives at these big companies, multinational corporations, bought back shares of their own firm's stock at the second lowest rate in the last 2 years last month, even as speculators continued to buy the dip. And insiders are typically bullish on their own company and, of course, buy when prices fall. But they declined to do so after all three major U.S. stock indexes fell by at least 2% during the month, the second consecutive month of declines. Insiders were the big buyers in March as the Fed stepped in with its QE Infinity program, correctly timing the sell-off's bottom, but were largely absent in October. Fewer than 380 corporate executives and officers bought their company shares. They bought $74 million worth of shares in October. Malcolm Poley, president of Stewart Capital Advisors, says what they're telling you is our stock is not cheap, and maybe it's expensive, so it doesn't make sense for us to buy at the dip. There you have it. There you go, Dave.
Yeah, well, companies' buybacks are rising from the second quarter's big drop-off, but they remain well below last year's pace, suggesting corporations in this country are in no rush to buy back their shares either. S&P 500 companies bought back just about shy of $200 billion of their own stock in the first quarter, but that figure dropped to $89 billion in the second quarter, more than a 50% reduction. In the third, it's estimated companies bought back $112 billion and will buy back an estimated $125 billion in the fourth quarter. Still, that's what, that's roughly, what, $550 billion, half a trillion dollars? I mean, no, it's not like the past couple of years, but that's not peanuts either, Melody. In fact, buybacks represent the number one reason for corporations' earnings being so good last quarter. So that gives you an idea that they're pumping up their share prices. It's sort of like a cycle that feeds itself. So it's even though it may be down, it's still manipulative as all get out. I guess I wouldn't characterize this as good news. I think the fact that it's gotten up to a half a trillion dollars again, in fact, suggests that it's alarming, really.
But we've just become used to them buying back their shares, and no one squawks, and it's just part of the system now.
Well, the thing is, I mean, there's over $4 trillion in mm-hmm. in cash
yep.
that investors are holding their accounts, largely money market funds, and that's the highest level ever. So, you know, depending on what happens after January 20th, now if there's a divided Congress, whatever policies may be considered by either the current administration or a new one, there's going to be any action's going to be tempered because of the split governance in Congress. So I again now. Is how it ends up. Look for not a whole lot of policy changes. Major.
What we have now is our break. That still stays the same. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today
today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. The next thing we're going to talk about, we'll just touch on it briefly, but high savings rate could fuel higher GDP growth. And it's about Americans being home and push the federal government to distribute over $2 trillion income support. So that led initially to a surge in spending on physical goods, especially cars, exercise equipment, and other durable goods, as well as home renovations. But the combination of government checks and the threat of the virus has also been responsible for a massive increase in the household savings rate. I have to question that. While the boost is starting to fade, the cumulative impact has been worth about $1.3 trillion. The big question now is, what's going to happen to all that money? So far, the extra cash has likely contributed to the strong performance of the financial and housing markets. But if consumers start spending this rainy day stash on goods and services instead of speculating on assets, I mean, they could force a big economic boon and inflation. So, but my question is, and we were kind of talking about this during the break, I mean, we're not a nation of savers. Granted, you know, things are a little uncertain with the virus, but you would think that with things opening up, that money did go into the market, and that's what helped the third quarter GDP be what it is. But I don't know. It's just... it's hard to save money if you're not working and you have this extra money coming in. You're paying for bills.
But remember, too, that this $1,200 went to people making individuals as much as $95,000 and married filing jointly couples up to $198,000. And $1,200 to that individual or couple, it really isn't the same as $1,200 to someone who's making $10, $15, even $20, $25 an hour, even as some of those. And remember, too, that even though the $600 pandemic unemployment benefit kicked in for several months, the state benefits were extended for an extra 13 weeks. A lot of the folks, particularly at the lower income level, had to wait several weeks. So the ones at the lower income, I'm not surprised that they spent most or all of that. The higher income folks that got those benefits, on the other hand, I have nothing to back it up. It's just more of a hunch. That they're the ones who did the saving, but to me it's not altogether implausible, although I certainly understand your skepticism.
But also those with a higher income, if they did save it, then they're not likely to spend it either. Just like my $1,200, I went and bought two bikes.
I hear you. No, absolutely. That's why this one guy that in this article, Jim Paulson, an economist, says that if people start spending these savings, it'll have this multiplier effect on GDP growth over the next five quarters. He says as much as 7% this quarter, then followed by 5, 8, 5, and 5 next year. Believing that the relief measures that were passed this year will have a lagging effect that'll take care of this next year. But it's pure theory. It's a big, big if, for the reason that you just mentioned. I mean, what reason is there for the upper, the 150, particularly the $150,000 to $200,000 earning couple, to spend any of
Like a free bonus. You know, here's Christmas early. That's what do you want? Go get. You know, here you go.
Right.
But I don't know. You know what? I mean, I'm hopeful that it's true and that it is actually will come in and help the economy and jobs and so forth. I mean, that would be a wonderful thing. I'm just such a skeptic. I'm sorry.
Skepticism is generally healthy.
I don't know about that, Dave. I'm going to take my temperature and see if it's rising.
I meant to ask. I should have asked Wendy. Like the last three or four times I've been to a doctor during the pandemic, every time, the one with the forehead that they shoot the mm-hmm. laser beam, your forehead, 96.8, I think, was the highest. The fact that they're coming in at that level, I guess there's some built-in rule that, if it's that far under the normal 98.6, I guess there's some factor that they're considering.
Mine's not to let the listeners know what our temperatures are, but mine's been running about 97.5, once in a while it'll get to 98. At the doctor's office, sometimes it'll be 98. So I don't know. Yeah. It is weird. I just think it's the cheap little thermometers, but the doctor's offices should, it very well could be. I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, they hold that the temperature thing how many inches away from your forehead. I mean, that I would think that would have some impact on the reading of your temperature.
I mean,
you got a lot of air going between your forehead and the instrument.
I now have a mission for the next time.
There you go.
See my
there
primary.
You go.
I'm going to put her on the spot and ask her.
There you go.
All
right. Well, let's
you.
Go ahead. We got 10 minutes left of the program, the 20th anniversary for, and I like our program today because I am really, it's nice to talk about something different. And I think it is very important. And the space station. Now, I'm not quite sure what the space station is doing up there, so maybe you can tell us, Dave.
Well,
what are they doing up there?
It's taking up a little bit of space, and apparently it's avoiding a lot of junk, space junk. But whatever the case, it's happy 20th anniversary to the International Space Station. Now, the ISS was a cramped, humid, puny three rooms when the first crew moved in. And 20 years and 241 visitors later, the complex now has a lookout tower, three toilets, unisex, I'm told, six sleeping compartments, and 12 rooms. I mean, it's a space mansion. Monday marked two decades of a steady stream of people living there. Astronauts from 19 countries have floated through the space station hatches, including many repeat visitors who arrived on shuttles for short-term construction work and several tourists who've paid their own way. That's probably been kept a little bit more below the radar. The first crew, Mary, Melody, you've been holding out on me.
Where did you think I was?
and here I thought, boy... cruise ship is a great cover. Let me tell you. Well, in any event, the first crew back then, American Bill Shepard and Russian Sergei Krikalev and Yuri Gidzenko, blasted off from Kazakhstan Borat's hometown on October 31st, 2000. And 2 days later, they swung open the space station doors, clasping their hands in unity. Shepard, who was a former Navy SEAL who served as the station commander, likened it to living on a ship at sea. The three spent most of their time coaxing equipment to work. Balky systems made the place too warm. Conditions were primitive compared to now. Installations and repairs took hours at the new space station versus minutes on the ground. That's how Krikalev recalls. Shepard said each day seemed to have its own set of challenges. Since then, the space station has morphed into a 500-ton complex. That's almost as long as a football field, with 8 miles of electrical wiring, an acre of solar panels, and three high-tech labs where they do a lot of experiments, mainly on plants, food, see how different types of food survives in space. A lot of this, which I don't get into in detail, Melody, looks to be as much about learning things that they can bring back on for positive effect on Earth, as it is to plan for future space travel. So, in any event, apparently no close calls during the 5 month stay up there. And so far, the station is said to have held up relatively well. In fact, as I mentioned, NASA's top concern these days is the growing threat from space junk. This year, the orbiting lab has literally had to dodge debris 3 times, meaning they've had to, you know, move probably their solar panels, I would guess, are the most vulnerable pieces of the complex. So, with the first piece launched in 1998, the ISS already has logged 22 years in orbit, the last 20 with manned missions. 260 miles up there, Melody. They spend most of their stays there keeping the space station just running and performing these experiments. Men and now women, mostly American and Russian, although some from Belgium, Germany, Italy, Canada, and Japan. Shepard, big lesson from all of this. The main objective, he says, our crew showed that we can work together. And the only thing I have to add to that, Melody, is hear that, fellow Earthlings? We can work together. That, Melody, is this week's Levity is Golden.
Yeah, so many things have slipped by because, you know, mainstream media has just been focused on, you know, just one thing or another. And it's, you know, in how many months and how many years. And so many things just get passed by that aren't reported on. And it's sad because a lot of people are missing out. They really don't know what news is. And so it's very interesting. And what I marvel at are the number of satellites that are circling this planet.
Yeah.
And, tons. You know, I can't imagine that is good or healthy or... but it's how we get our little toys working and our communications and all of our TVs and our programs. So I guess no one's going to even question... what all of those satellites are doing circling the planet also. So anyway, it's just my question.
No, nothing. I'm just marveling.
So, let's see. What else is interesting? You know, you mentioned cruises.
Gee.
The top cruise industry group is extending its voluntary suspension of U.S. operations through the end of the year. Cruise Lines International Association, and that includes Carnival and Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and others, said its members would use the remaining weeks to prepare to implement pandemic safety measures You have Carnival, Royal Caribbean, and Norwegian cruise lines had already individually announced plans to remain on pause. But the new association announcement extends the policy to all of its members, which account for the vast majority of ocean-going cruise ships. The CDC last week lifted the ban on cruises in the U.S. waters, allowing the cruise companies to start planning for the return despite a resurgence of the virus around the world. Yeah, and I guess the CDC allowed them to cruise in U.S. waters, but with no passengers?
Yes, yes.
I'm wondering, yes. What's the point?
Well, they could,
I didn't get it.
Yes,
but,
I guess there must have been some interest in supporting the Saudis and all the other foreign oil producers. I have no clue. It just seems so strange. Maybe it was just it permitted employment of the cruise line crews, but I can't imagine without any passengers that they were up to full snuff or anywhere near it in terms of crew levels. So,
yeah, big expense. Hey,
maybe we can call someone from this association sometime and ask them to enlighten us.
Yes, maybe we can hop a ride. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for today. Be safe out there, and until tomorrow, good night and God bless.
Bye-bye.
There seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.